So today, I want to welcome the new people. Reminder, we have a meeting tomorrow at 6. It's going to be great. Please come. It's going to be very great, actually. And we're on the family afterwards, and we're going to read some powerful paragraphs on how we live together in the world. And if anybody has a problem with living together in the world, this is a good chapter for you. If you don't, I don't know who you could possibly be. Then on Wednesday night, we started the book over, and we're reading the chapter, There's a Solution. And we're going to look at the solution and where it came from. Powerful stuff. So if you could join us on Wednesday night. Today on Saturday, this is our 10th or 11th time through the big book, and we started, I can't remember when. And we're on how it works, and we're on step 4, and we're on resentments. And I'm going to finish the resentment inventory instructions today. And I've done, I think I've done 3 parts, and now we're going to look at 1 paragraph today. And before I begin, I'm going to ask God to set aside everything I think I know about you, God, the steps, recovery, the big book, what's best for me, what's best for others. Especially let go of all my old ideas so I can live in your truth. Amen. Now, what I'm going to do, hopefully quickly without confusing anybody, is try to go through the instructions on the 4th step up to where we are today. On page 63 to 67 is the instructions on resentment and the beginning of the 4th step. And on page 63, for those who are new, we have the 3rd step prayer. Anybody think it's a good prayer? Anybody say it all the time? Right. Well, here's what they say. Think well before saying it, making sure you abandon yourself completely to God and do that every day. Then it says we're going to launch on a course of vigorous action. That means you're going to do something right away, or else the promise in the 3rd step won't come true. Nothing will change. And we heard some people talk about they've done this before. If you don't do these steps, nothing will change. This is the process of change. And we're going to look at the things in me that are blocking me from God for the first time. And then I'm going to use this information every day for the rest of my life. Because I need to know how to deal with anger all the time. Anybody else ever get angry? Yeah, and it's a killer. It's a killer. And it says on 64, we take a personal inventory. I'm going to inventory my person. It doesn't mean I go to the Y, get on the scales, look at my body, see what needs to be done. That's not it. I'm inventorying my mind and my personality. And I have some extra cards if people need them, because we're going to look at it a little bit today. But my personality was not pretty. It was characterized by self-will. And I need to find the truth about my thinking so that I don't act on lies anymore. I don't act on thinking that's not true. So it says, I'm going to do this with my life. That's not too hard. And I'm going to look at the things in me that caused my failure, not their failure. And we're beginning now to start the treatment of alcoholism. Steps 1 is an experience and an admission of powerlessness. Steps 2 is believing that something can help me that's greater than me because I don't have no power. And step 3 is a decision to seek this power as my director. But now we're actually starting to begin the work of recovery. And the work is that I'm going to go back through my life and see the manifestations of my self-centeredness, living separating from God. Now, the big book makes it very easy. There are only 3 things you have to look at in your life of self: your anger, your fear, and your conduct, which cause shame and guilt. It's not that complicated, right? And we're going to consider the common manifestations of self that caused wrong actions and caused harmful things to be done and ruined my life, made my life completely unmanageable. Alcohol didn't make my life unmanageable. It did when I drank. But sober, what made my life unmanageable was my manifestations of self-centeredness. So is everybody with me? So it goes 64, it says, resentment is the number 1 offender. It's the number one offender that caused my failure. It's the number one manifestation of self. So whenever you're angry, you're in self. And it says it's going to destroy me. It's all form of my spiritual illness. We're at 64, bottom of the page. All forms of spiritual disease. My disease with God stems from my resentment. So what they're telling you right now is if you're angry, God can't direct your life. You have no power in your life when you're angry except whatever you're angry at. Now, isn't it stupid to go around your whole life letting other people control you? But that's what we did. And it says, if I overcome my spiritual illness, which is, I'll straighten out mentally and physically. So the instructions for step four resentment are very simple. At 64 at the bottom, you make a list, written list. And you first thing you do is you list everybody who ever pissed you off. People, institution, or principles with whom you were angry. Now I hear a lot of people say, oh, I don't have any resentments. I don't know who they are. Because if you go back and you look at your life, look at anybody you ever lived, married, had relationships with, all your family members, anybody ever worked with, went to school with, you'll see how you were in conflict with a lot of people and you judged them and you made judgments about them and you got angry at them. And then the second column is very complicated. You ask yourself why we were angry. Now don't spend a lot of time on it. We don't care. Some people write pages about the ex-wife, like 50 pages. No, it's not going to help you. We don't really care. Because a lot of times what they did isn't even true, what we think they did. But just three or four lines. Anybody can do that, can make a list. I usually say stop at 50, 75, because after a while they're all the same thing. But make sure you have the key ones on there. Because you want to be free of anger and free of the negative attitude towards anyone you've ever had a negative attitude towards to. Then you're going to find in the third column that you're threatened when you get angry. And something in you is threatened. You may not realize it. Your self-esteem, your pride, your pocketbooks, your ambition, your sex life. You get hurt or threatened. You're burned up. So an alcoholic who comes in here is burned up. They're threatened. They're angry. Now, if you want to stay sober, you don't want to live that way anymore, right? So that's why we do the fourth step on anger. So that when I get angry today, I can stop and I can use these spiritual tools. This is the kit of spiritual tools that keeps me from separating from God. I get back to God. And it says, so we put opposite each name and then they give four examples with the three columns on page 65. And I've done three times I've gone through it on the site in resentment. And you can see, and each one's a little different. Because I don't remember what I said before. Because I go back through my life. I want to be thorough and honest. Bottom of page 65. I'm going to consider carefully these three columns. It shouldn't take more than 2 days to do the three columns. And if you don't know who you're angry at, just carry the pad around. And then think about your thoughts. And they'll come to you. And then when you start doing it, you're going to think of more. It's not a big deal, but it... I don't know about you, but like in the, you know, probably in the third grade, you know, we were all having the flute thing, and she told me I didn't do the flute right in front of the whole class, and you know, everybody stared at me. I mean, I'm making this up, but it's probably happened. I didn't get picked for the Little League team, those assholes, you know. Anybody understand what I'm saying? Yeah. And the third, and then on page 66, they're going to see in the top paragraph, it tells me that all I could conclude my whole life was that they were wrong. They're wrong, absolutely. You took a lie detector test, they were wrong. And it says, and we stayed wrong, we stayed sore. And then we got mad at ourselves. So it didn't work, right? It's not going to work today. So then we go to 66, the second paragraph. And it says that a life which includes deep resentment leads only to futility and unhappiness. There's no other option. And when we came in here, at least for me, my life was futile and unhappy. Now, I started a job and things and that, but it was total misery. I had a miserable existence. And here's what I learned when I came in here. I permitted the resentments. Nobody told me to be angry at him. And I squandered the hours that might have been worthwhile. I'd sit in my chair, angry at the who was upstairs. And upstairs was controlling my life. And I'm downstairs. Well, that was ridiculous, wasn't it? But I permitted it. And I permitted people who were at home watching Big Bang. I'm sitting in my chair and I'm miserable because of them. And they don't even know, they're not even thinking about me. I squandered hours through my whole life being angry. Anybody else relate to that? And it was all based on fear. And I was afraid my whole life. And I don't want to live that way anymore. I don't live that way anymore. So if you want to maintain, it says, if my hope is to maintain and grow a spiritual experience, now why do I need to do that? Because without a spiritual experience, I have no power not to drink. Like Ed says, I don't want to drink. I mean, that's the bottom line. But after a while, I don't think about drinking, but I want to have emotional sobriety. And if I have emotional sobriety, then I won't drink. And emotional sobriety means I have a relationship with God and I react differently to the world than I did. But it's a process. It says resentment is infinitely grave, not just grave. Grave is bad. But infinitely grave is very bad. And if you don't know what that means, because they're writing alcoholics, right? So they're not sure that we really understand it. So they say the next line, we found it's fatal. Now, fatal is not good. Now, they're not mincing words here. And unless you understand this in your heart, I don't know how you're going to stay sober. Because you have to understand that you have to change the way you react to people. It's going to kill you. Now, it says, when I harbor these feelings, so I've gone through this a million times, harbor is a safe place. So when I put this resentment in a safe place so nobody can get to it, I've shut myself off from God. And then the insanity alcohol returns, we drink again. How many times has that happened to people in this room? And to drink is to die. We die spiritually and we die physically. So it says, if you want to live, anybody want to live? It's right in the big book. Anybody want to live?
I do.
Good. All right. John wants to live. The rest of you are thinking about it. It says, I have to be free of anger. There's no mincing of words here. So I can't, now we had somebody come to a meeting, he's not here today, God bless him. This was years ago, and he pounded the table. And he said, I don't get angry. And walked out. Anger is a normal emotion. It can be used positively. But what they're talking about is we don't want to keep it. We don't want to keep in anger that self-centered anger. And I don't have to, you can have the emotion, we don't say don't have the emotion, but we're going to learn now how to stifle that and be free of it. So we don't have to be in bondage to anger anymore. Anybody want that? Yeah. So here's the instructions. I went through it last week. I've gone through it 18 million times. And I use it every day. And when I don't use it, son of a bitch, the day doesn't go well. And it's simple. It says, so you're going to make a list. You have the three columns, which may take 2 or 3 days. It's the key to your future. Now, I saw a lot of new people yesterday. Jimmy did a great job at the meeting. They're celebrating. And they're talking and about how their life is better. But listen, unless you do this, you don't have a future. Because you're going to have these character defects, and you're going to get these emotions. And when we drink on our emotions, right? So the key to my future. So it's very complicated. It's so complicated, so simple that people don't want to do it. Now these four paragraphs, I mean, are almost never read at any meeting. That I went years. It's in here, how to be free of anger. And it says, I look at it from a different angle. I'm going to see that the world and its people dominate me. So when you look at your list, you realize these people have power over you. Some of you are angry at for 30 years. Get over it. And it says, in the state, the wrongdoing of others, fancied or real, has the power to kill me. It's killing me. So how can I escape? How can the resentments be mastered? But how? See the question? How that's written in the big book? Very simple. I could not wish them away any more than alcohol. See, I don't have the power to be free of anger on my own. And so I need the power. So how am I going to get the power now to be free of anger? It says this was our course. This is what they did. Now, I made a comment last week that I'm sure somebody's going to listen to the podcast, and I pissed them off. And I said, maybe even in the room here, who knows? There's two paragraphs here that tells us their course. Now, in these paragraphs, it doesn't say you're angry, you pray for the person. So I said, that's all I said. I didn't say you can't pray for other people, but the instructions to be free of anger are me changing my attitude with God. And then if you want to pray for the other person, you're praying out of love. You're praying out of tolerance. And so I want to clarify that. I didn't say you shouldn't do it and this and that, but these are the instructions that I follow. And it says the people who wronged me were perhaps spiritually ill. What that means to me is they're human beings. They're running their world and they're in conflict with me. It's the way they are. Because I don't like their symptoms and the way they disturb me, they, like me, are sick. I'm sick to get disturbed. They're sick to do whatever they did. And so here's the four instructions. I ask God, remember, ask is a powerful term in the New Testament of prayer. It's a prayer based upon faith and expectation that it will happen. So I'm going to ask God every time I get a little angry that I want to show whoever I'm angry at the same tolerance, pity, and patience that I would cheerfully grant a sick friend. So I say, I'm angry at so-and-so. I want to give God, give me love, tolerance, patience that I would for a sick friend. They're sick like me. And I get tired of saying all that, so I just say, gee, they're just human beings. This is the way they are. Get over it, Michael. But the next, so that's part one. The next part is when they offend me, I say, this is a sick man. How can I be helpful to them? Now, that's a change in attitude. Instead of wanting to execute them, you want to be helpful to them. And then the third is, God, save me from being angry. That's the prayer that saves me. Save me from my anger. It's nothing to do with them. They're home watching TV. God, save me from being angry. Thy will be done. It's powerful. And if you do this, you will change your attitude. It says we avoid retaliation or argument. We wouldn't treat sick people that way. So if we don't want to retaliate or argue or be right. If we do, we destroy our chance of being helpful. You see the theme? I want to be helpful to everybody. I want to be loving and tolerant to everybody. I want to be free of anger to everybody. I cannot be helpful to all people, but at least God, show me how to be kind and tolerant to every person. Now, if I'm kind and tolerant to every person and practice these, I'm not going to get disturbed by them. And I'm not going to be separated from God, and my days are going to be great. Now, this is a process. This is the beginning instructions on freedom from the bondage of self. And then you use this. This is an academic exercise to get a grade and say, oh, I did a great four step. And we're alcoholics. We always want to do the best, you know. All we want to do is learn how anger killed me and how I have to be free of it. And if I do these four things, I'll be free of it. Now, this is how I forgive people. Now, I don't have to excuse people's behavior. Some people's behavior is really bad. But because they behave badly, I don't have to be separated from God. That would be silly. Now, if you want to pray for them after you've done this, I can pray that maybe they find God and they find some peace in their lives that may help them in their life. And so it's changed the way I see them, and this is how I forgive. I don't excuse, but I want to practice forgiveness, because if I want God to forgive me because I'm spiritually sick, I need to forgive them. And some people say, I can't forgive them. Change your mind. Who tells you you can't forgive someone? You do, and it's because you don't have a relationship with God and you don't want to. My wife talked about it today, victimization. Joe and Charlie have a powerful 5 or 8 minutes on victimization and how it has no role in AA. Because what happened to me 30 years ago does not have to affect me today. And they make a great point that the people who practice victimization, it must work for them. they get something out of it. They can blame everybody. Oh, look what happened. And they live in it, and then they justify their behavior, and they're alcoholics because of this, and they, you know, and so we don't want that. That's self-centered. And so we don't want to be victims. We've had bad things happen, but we have to learn to forgive and be in a position of neutrality. We don't have to like them or excuse them, but we want to be in a position of neutrality towards everyone so we're not dominated by them anymore. It's a choice. So now we're going to get to the final paragraph on resentment. See, it's pretty simple. And what we've done so far, we're free of fear, right? We're forgiving everybody, and we have tools to practice today. Now, this is what they call the fourth column. Now, you hear a lot of people say, what was my part, and this and that. There's no part. It's all me. If it's a part, it means they had something to do with it. They don't have anything to do with it, because we see that we didn't have to react that way. It was the way I reacted that caused the resentment. So it says, referring to the list again, putting out of our minds the wrongs others had done. So I'm going to put out of my mind all of that. I can't see my mistakes in a situation if I still see what they've done wrong. I'm still focusing on them. That's why it's in a sequence. I don't know how they came up with this, but it's brilliant. Who you're angry at, why you're angry, don't spend a lot of time. You're always threatened. Then you look at it from a different angle. You say the four prayers. You put them in a position of neutrality. And then I look at myself. We resolutely is a powerful word. Stu, look it up. Look for our own mistakes. Our own mistakes. Not their mistakes, my mistakes. Now, if I'm angry, I always have one mistake that I've done every single time I get angry. I'm inconsiderate. I'm not being considerate that they're just human beings, son of a bitches. That's the way they are. But it's true. I'm inconsiderate. Joe and Charlie, you had inconsiderate here. It's in the relationship inventory questions. Where have I been selfish? Concerned only with me. Now, I'm always selfish if I'm getting angry because I'm judging from me looking at them in terms of relation to how they're threatening me in some way. I don't have to do that anymore. Now, God doesn't get angry at everybody. He doesn't get angry at me. So I don't have to be angry. And dishonest, am I being dishonest? Am I lying about my thoughts or my feelings or what I want? Am I being dishonest in causing this? And a lot of times when we look at it, my selfishness caused the resentment that I had because they're reacting to me. That's a son of a bitch too. That I did things that set the ball rolling. It says that. Did we not see that we set the ball rolling? When we talk about selfishness, self-centeredness. And self-seeking, and I looked it up and I had it. You have self-seeking in there, Mark? Yeah, Mark will read it to you. It's powerful. When I read self-seeking, the definition, and it's, go ahead.
Seeking or pursuing only for oneself, the act or practice of selfishly advancing one's own desires and goals.
Yeah, at the expense of others.
Also have resolutely for one.
Yeah, I want resolutely.
Resolutely, faithfully, marked by firm determination, without doubt.
Yeah. And self-seeking and frightened. Anybody have fear? Now, I didn't realize that all my anger came from fear. And we have that thing that Carrie C. did where she starts out, and we'll do that when we get to fear. And all my fears have to be that I'm not good enough, and I don't deserve God's love, and I'm threatened in some way by the world. And I didn't realize that. It says, though a situation had not been entirely my fault, we tried to disregard the other person involved entirely. They don't even exist in this. And it says, where was I to blame? What did I do? What are specific actions did I take? So I'm going to ask myself two questions. Where I've been selfish, dishonest, self-seeking, frightened, or inconsiderate? And then what did I do? What did I actually do? Now I'm going to use this information for steps 8 and 9. Because I'm going to have these lists of all these people, and then I'm going to see what actions I took that harmed them. So this is all part of that. And then you do it each day. It says we watch for selfishness, desire, resentment, fear. When these crop up, I ask God at once to remove them. I make amends. I discuss it with someone. I turn my thoughts to someone I help. So I'm going to be doing this every day for the rest of my life. And it says the inventory is mine, not the other man's. Now, when you go to a lot of discussion meetings and new people, they're taking everybody's inventory. But we don't want to take the other people's inventory. That got us a wristband. We want to take our inventory, right? Our inventory then made me a very sick person. Now, does anybody still do that? Of course we do. We still judge, but we realize that we don't have to believe our judgments anymore. We can stop when we're seeing things negatively. And it says we saw our faults. Now, what are our faults? Our faults are our character defects that caused me to be threatened and to get angry. And they're the left-hand side, the personality characteristics of self-will. Now, this is what we're going to use in steps 6 and 7. And the purpose of step 4 is in resentment is several things. One, to see how angry you were your whole life. 2, to see that you're always threatened. 3, to see that what they did may not have even been true. 4, to learn the prayers to forgive them and to put yourself in a neutral place. And then 5, where were you to blame? And then this is the exact nature of my wrongs. And this is what's killing me. And if I live this way, and like Ed says, if I don't change, my sobriety date will. If I don't change from this person, nothing's going to change. So now I recognize whenever I'm angry, I'm over here somewhere. And I have to stop and say, God, I need help here. I need to change the way I see it. Am I being dishonest, frightened, inconsiderate, greedful, pridey, angry, envy? You see what I mean? So you're going to use this the rest of your life, all the time, whenever you get angry. And you're going to admit your wrongs honestly. And you've set your faults in black and white. You've written them down. Now, we made it easy. We made a card. So a lot of people carry this around. I used to have it on my desk at work. And then I'd cover it up. And then I'd get a little moment there. And I'd say, well, I better uncover this. That's when I had the charts. And I'd move the charts. I'd say, well, on the left-hand side. And then I had the God pole that I'd hold when things got really bad. I'd go out in the hallway and hold the God pole. And you know, like if they had 8 people scheduled at the same time, and you know, it's endless. And I'd hold the God pole and I'd say, well, gee, God, get me centered so I'm undisturbed. It always worked. Hold the pole, get undisturbed, and then this and that. So it got to a point where they'd see me out in the hallway holding the pole and they'd say, well, what's wrong, doctor? I said, no, I just hold the pole. I'm fine today. And then I noticed that they'd start going to the pole. You know, and sometimes it was because of me. Yeah, Jesus, would he ever shut up? And they go to the pole, and they're holding the pole. I mean, it got to be, but at least we were trying to grow spiritually, and I think we all got along better. I hope they're not listening. And so it says black and white. We admitted our wrongs. I have to be able to look at this. This is where I get the information for 8 and 9. And this is where I learn my behavior. I admit my wrongs honestly. And I'm willing, and honestly, I wrote, we admit our wrongs honestly, and I wrote, to who? To myself. I have to admit myself and see it, because I don't want to live that way anymore. This is a lot of information for the first time you're doing it, right? But we use it every day, and we'll open it up in 2 minutes, timey mark, and willing to set matters straight. Stop it. To who? And it says these matters straight, amend. And how can I set wrong what I did? And that's where you use it in 8 and 9. You just go, a lot of people knew they want to make amends right away. They go up and it doesn't work well. You have to know how you harm the person and how you make that right. So I hope this was helpful. I tried to review all of 4-step put together, and we're going to open it up.
What were those 4 things that you said that we got to, like, was it the where had we been, selfish, where were we to blame?
It says we ask ourselves 2 questions. 1, were we selfish, dishonest, self-seeking, frightened, or inconsiderate? And then it says, where were you to blame? So I usually do where you were to blame first. What did you do? What actions I took? Like, did I scream at them in the hallway? Or did I, you know, whatever we did. And then, where was I selfish? So I can relate the two. So Joe and Charlie, they do five columns. The fourth column is, where was I to blame after I'm in a position of neutrality towards these people? And then, what character defects caused it? It's all intertwined. So I hope that was helpful. And I have some resentment inventory. I have the resentment inventory handout. It follows the book, and I write it all out. I'll bring some in if people want them. And it's on the site under links and documents. You just see four-step inventory resentment. Push it, and it'll print right out. So thank you, guys.
Thanks, Michael.
Thanks, Mike.